Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good.
Welcome to Shrink Wrap, the drive time show that helps you unwrap the issues blocking your road to a happy and fulfilling life. I'm your host, Phyllis Chase, licensed marriage and family therapist, and you can listen to Shrink Wrap every Tuesday evening as long as you're tuned to KCSN 88.5 FM, Arts and Roots Radio, or tuned to www.kcsn.org for our live streaming. Stay tuned to Shrink Wrap because it's really all about tuning into you. Tonight, we're talking with Byron Katie, the best-selling author of three books, Loving What Is, I Need Your Love, Is That True?, A Thousand Names for Joy. All Katie's books discuss an extraordinarily simple and powerful method, a four-question inquiry for finding happiness and freedom. It's called The Work, and so is her website. It's www.thework.com. And you might, if you're listening online, you might just even go to the website and go along with us. Time magazine called Katie a spiritual innovator for the new millennium, and the London Times said her events were riveting to watch. Katie says she has only one job, to help people to end their own suffering. So let's hear it right now. Let's hear how. Welcome, Katie. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Phyllis.
So you discovered this work in 1986, and I'd love for you to tell our listeners how, you know, where you were in your life and how you came to discover this four-question process.
You know, very, very depressed. Very depressed. Self-esteem so low, I didn't believe I even deserved to sleep in a bed. So actually, I would sleep on the floor next to my bed, and that is out of whack. And one day, as I lay sleeping on the floor, actually a cockroach crawled over my foot, and I woke up, and in that moment all the depression was the opposite. It's just like everything was so beautiful that it was like I'd never been born before. It was all so clear. And what I found in that moment, as thoughts just hit that space immediately, I saw in that moment that when I believed my thoughts, I suffered. And when I questioned my thoughts, I didn't suffer. And I've come to see that this is true for every human being. It works.
Yeah. Explain to me what happened, though. I mean, what did something happen while you were sleeping? How do you explain this thing that you woke up to, this different world?
Well, I woke up to a world without description. There were no words in my head to tell me what it was. So there was no reference for anything. And what happened as a result, I met my true nature. Its laughter began to just pour out of me and pour out of me. It was like not me. You know, depressed people don't laugh a lot. And
right.
and so it was very foreign. And then those thoughts began to hit, and I could not believe them at that point. Like, he doesn't care about me. My children don't respect me. This is a difficult world to understand. All of those thoughts, I saw them so clearly as they would flow through, and so then they began to actually take me over. So I would slow it down and question each one of them as though they were the dearest children in the world, children that just didn't understand what was true and what wasn't. So, for example, maybe the thought, I'd identify a thought like, he doesn't care about me, and maybe thinking of one of my sons or my husband at the time. And the first question of the four is it true? He doesn't care about me. Is that true? And then the second question is, can I absolutely know that it's true? He doesn't care about me. And then I began to laugh, because who can know another person's mind or heart?
Mm.
You can't. Even when they tell you, you can't really know. And then the third question, how do you react? What happens when you believe that he doesn't care about you. And then you begin to get in touch with feelings and how they take you over and how your mood changes and how you treat that person and how your addictions begin to happen in that moment. You compulsively overeat or reach for the cigarette that you said you weren't going to smoke. And those are the effects of believing these stressful thoughts in our head. And then the fourth question, who or what would you be without the thought? And I'm not asking people to drop the thoughts. That's not the thing here. You know,
but just to question it.
Yeah, who would throw away their own child? And that's how I saw thoughts and see thoughts. So simply, who would I be without that thought? He doesn't care about me. And to sit in that question, you know, it gives people the same experience I had on the floor from start to finish with all four of these questions. And then I invite people to look at the opposites, you know, in this world of apparent polarity and duality. He doesn't care about me turned around to an opposite. He does care about me. And to find examples, just to get still and find examples where that is as true and get a little balance. Another turnaround for me was I don't care about him. And I was shocked because examples and images began to happen in my head, you know, images showing me examples of all the ways I have hurt him, all of the things that I have said and done that were unkind because I was so crazed and depressed and self-centered and blind. You know, I came to see so clearly my innocence. And I had a lot of amends to make. And then another turnaround, I don't care about myself. I don't care about me. And I just melted in that. I began to see, you know, images of my past where the way I had been feeding me, you know, the food I ate, the things I drank, and the lack of sleep, oversleeping and isolating. You know, my goodness, if I wouldn't treat one of my children the way I was treating me, I would treat no human being the way I was treating myself. So that's the work: four questions and a turnaround.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me that you came. The turnaround, I don't want to confuse people with using that word, but, you know, your personal shift came about when you started to have compassion, it sounds like, for your thoughts, like they were your children, you said.
Yes.
That you had a love of these thoughts, even if they were negative and tearing you down.
Yes.
You came to an unconditional kind of acceptance.
You know, it is unconditional love. You know, unconditional love is unconditional love. It cannot exclude our thoughts. And so if there's a thought that is causing us stress, you know, to do the work, to question it using these four questions and turn around until the next time that thought comes through, like he doesn't care about me, laughter replaces depression. Mm-hmm. Laughter and the extreme opposites of a lack of kindness happen in that space where prior to that, depression and addiction and striking out at myself and others, it ceases. And that's the power of self-realization. But until we realize that, change cannot take place because, you know, I had no idea why I was depressed and people could tell me it wasn't enough. I had to realize it for myself. And that's what this work gives each of us individually. It's work we can do on our own, by ourselves. And it's always free on my website. These questions belong to all of us.
That's wonderful. You've transformed. I mean, you've seen hundreds of thousands of people's lives transformed through asking these four questions.
Yes.
Can you give us an example of something that most people would think there's no way that four questions could get, you know, somebody with, you know, child abuse or something that where they say, this shouldn't have happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
This was wrong. This is everybody in our culture believes that no child should suffer physical or sexual abuse. So something like that.
Yeah. So no child should suffer. Is that true? And the next question, no child should suffer. Can you absolutely know that it's true? And your answer might be yes to both of those. And that's perfectly acceptable, you know, just go down through those layers and get still and take your own mind back, you know, just allow what is under that surface to arise and either answer yes or no. And then how do you react when you believe the thought, no child should suffer? feel the suffering in that thought and look at the images that happen when you believe the thought, when you think the thought, no child should suffer.
So look at how it makes you feel.
Oh my,
because it makes you
goodness.
Feel worse having that thought, right?
Well, yes, because when you think the thought, images start to happen. You begin to see children suffering and suffering and suffering, and you take on, it's like a movie. It's not the children that are suffering that you're looking at. It's the movie in your head that you're witnessing that is causing all the feelings. So child abuse isn't what you're suffering over. It's the images in your head when you think the thought. No child should suffer, for example. So who would you be without that thought? And again, I'm not asking people to drop the thought. You know, thoughts are, especially me of all people, thoughts are my friends. But simply to get still, who would you be without the thought children shouldn't suffer? And that's, we're still not saying that they should or shouldn't. It's just, you know, we're opening our minds to other possibilities, possibilities of making a difference in the world that don't require stress and pain and suffering. So when we turn it around, we begin to see children shouldn't suffer. That child shouldn't suffer, turned around, I shouldn't suffer. Well, can I take care of just one child that's suffering? Just one? Well, that's me. Let me work on me. Because if I can't end my own suffering, and only the immature mind, a child's, an immature mind, we could say a child's mind, at whatever age we are, you know, suffering is an immature experience, you know, it's here's what maturity is. I shouldn't suffer. Let me take care of me. Because look at the huge ego that says, I can take care of all these children, but I can't even take care of myself. So, you know, I invite people to do what I did, which is become your own expert first.
And expert on yourself?
Expert on yourself and your own suffering. And then on another turnaround, children should suffer. Well, oh my goodness, you know, this is like tyranny. It's like it coming up against the whole culture of every culture and what we believe. Children should suffer. Well, then I got very still with that. And I was a child and I suffered. And then I began to see the examples of what it taught me, of what it taught me. And then I look at the next suffering that I did as a child and then as a teenager and then as a young adult and then, you know, all the way up. I'm 65 years old and I can't look back on any part of suffering that didn't teach me something valuable. And on the other side of that, you know what I love about the past? It's over.
Yes.
My favorite. And then we get still and we begin to see and realize that all the suffering in the world that has ever happened to you or to me in this moment right now is over. And then we began to understand the grace of life and the goodness of life. And we began to understand our true nature and how kind and friendly the universe really is.
And to understand that we are here to learn something,
yes.
Right? And we wouldn't do that if there wasn't some sort of pain or suffering. It's how we learn,
well,
would you say?
You know, because that's what happened in the past. But my invitation to people is to all war belongs on paper. All the stressful thoughts that you do war with yourself, with the world, with others, you know, put those thoughts on paper and then question each and every concept on that page and basically set yourself free to live this wonderful, amazing life. You know, life is not the problem. The world is not the problem. What we're believing about life and the world, that is the only problem. That is the only confusion in the world.
Mm-hmm. As a narrative therapist in postmodern therapy, we say the problem is the problem. You're not the problem. So I think that's very similarly minded.
Yeah, it's what we're believing.
Yes.
That is the problem, not reality. Reality is working. It's working well.
Yeah.
But that's very difficult to believe as long as we're believing what we are believing about reality in the world.
Yes. You're listening to member-supported Arts and Roots Radio, KCSN 88.5 FM, named Best of LA by Los Angeles Magazine. This is Shrink Wrap, and I'm marriage and family therapist Phyllis Chase, and I'm talking with Byron Katie about her four-question method to find happiness and freedom called The Work. You know, before we go further into this, because I want to revisit the four questions, would you? I know that you have a 28-day turnaround house, you call it. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Oh, it's amazing.
Because I know you also have a 9-day workshop, but this is a more intensive, so I wanted to hear about that.
Yeah, the 9-day school for the work, morning till evening, all day long, and I'm there every moment, early morning till late at night. It's very radical. But turnaround house, it's a 28-day experience, and I only have 6 people per house, and the first one is in Ojai here in California, then the next one is San Francisco, and the next one's Mallorca, Spain, and everyone's invited. But we take every concept imaginable. Like I have a body, I call them capsules, a body capsules, a financial capsule, the fear of you know, not having the resources we think we need, and a fear and terror capsule, and oh my goodness.
Capsule, you mean like kind of a study thing? You're not putting people into a capsule or anything? You
know? No, they're topics that we that we travel into. You know, just in-depth travel and get it squared away.
I would love to take that concept because, you know, after 9/11, we all have terrorism on our mind. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of, every ad on television is fear-based. Yes. So every, you know, there's so much fear out there in the world. And we are being terrorized, I think, on a very, you know, everyday level on television to globally, worried about that we're all going to be victims of terrorism. So how would you help people with the day-to-day fears of overwhelming, out of control?
Yeah, we could take on you know, one that's really up front is the terrorists are going to attack. And then working through the questions, is that true? Can you absolutely know that that's true? And I'm not saying that they're not, but can you absolutely know that it's true? And yeah, we can't know. Mm-hmm. And then how do you react? What happens when you think that thought?
I'm more afraid, right?
Yep, and then these images show us an attack, and then that's not enough. It shows them attacking our home, and that's not enough. They show us, you know, our house bombed, our children dead. I mean, on and on and on. That's how we react when we believe that thought.
And then you can see how we're terrorizing ourselves by these images.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's how the terrorists win, so to speak. It stops you from doing things.
And the fourth question, who would you be just in this moment without the thought that terrorists are going to attack? And I'm not asking again that people give up the thought. Simply, who would you be without that thought? We become immediately we begin to experience the state of gratitude that where it's not happening right now. It's not happening right now. In fact, everything we want to happen as we're imagining the attack, we have right here, right now. It is a state of grace. And in that stillness, you know, it's we can realize a lot. That's where the mature mind has options and can just take off and problem solve because it's fearless. It's not held down by fear. And then the turnaround. Terrorists are going to attack. Turn around. I'm going to attack. Well, who do I attack? I'm attacking myself in this moment with something that's not even happening now. Who have I attacked today? Who have I been unkind to? Who have I attacked even just in my mind and was attacking while I was smiling, having a discussion with them? You know, what was I thinking? You know, this is really looking at ourselves, because if I attack you, I'm the one that feels it, whether it's silently in my head or verbally. And as long as we're believing our thoughts, we are going to attack. We are going to terrorize our children, our partners, our families, our neighbors, the people at work, until we get our own terrorism inside of us under control. And the only way I know to do that is to question our thinking. And then we don't let go of those thoughts. They let go of us. And terrorists shouldn't attack. or terrorists are going to attack. Turned around, terrorists are not going to attack. Well, it's a good place to get centered and look around and notice that, yes, in this moment, they're not. That you're absolutely safe in this moment, that you can afford to take a breath and notice how your heart rate starts to change. Notice how your allergies start to clear up. Notice how you felt like you were 90 years old, and all of a sudden you're like an energized child living living out of the creative mind that knows how to problem solve, because it's not in a survival it's not in the survival mode that is so limiting, and life becomes very rich again, and the state of gratitude that, oh my goodness, it's our birthright.
Did you ever study cognitive behavioral therapy? Because it has some similarities to challenging, you know, cognitive behavioral rational emotive therapy, where it came from. Cognitive behavioral came from was to challenge the irrational thinking, which is similar to yours saying, "Is this true?" And then replacing it with a thought that's more helpful or more rational.
So here's the difference with the work: we don't change our thinking. It's not even a goal. It is, you know, the only goal is peace. And so there's, well, basically no other goal. So as you question what you're believing, these stressful thoughts, and turn it around and notice examples of those turnarounds, then they are replaced with what is left. And that always leaves us as kinder, more fearless human beings. They're replaced with the natural. They're replaced with our true nature.
So you're letting your imagination go wherever it will take you in the turnaround to come up with options, unlike cognitive behavioral, which says replace it with a different thought. So it's more of a freeing.
Oh, absolutely. We're looking for the genuine.
The right way.
Yeah, we're looking for the genuine. We're not looking for tricks. This is beyond trickery. It just doesn't exist in this process. Mm-hmm. So as people turn it around, you know, they're actually waking up to a reality that, you know, Phyllis, when people it's like it's a terrible world turned around, it's a wonderful world. Okay, we want to believe that. But it's not enough. We need those four questions before we turn it around. It's a wonderful world. And then positive affirmation. It's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful world. What a wonderful world. Well, it appears to work for a while, but then the questions we have not, the concepts we have not questioned yet will override our positive thinking. Until we deal with them, until we question them, they will override it, and our patterns don't change, our addictions don't stop, and if we stop doing the behavior, it shows up in other ways. It has to, because what we're believing is what our life is, what it truly is.
I often say that, and tell me if you agree, that what's unconscious is running the show. So those things that you haven't challenged are really running the show, no matter how positive your affirmations are. So you're saying this is a process where you can really discover and challenge those thoughts that are really lying below the surface.
Yes, and really they're not below the surface. They're more on top of the of the surface. It's like the good ones are below the surface. When we do something kind, we want something back, you know, and even wanting a thank you back is wanting something back. So the work leaves us as genuinely loving, caring people with no motive other than we notice that we're happier living this way in service, just a kind, living out of a kind heart.
And truly the best way to take care of oneself. If you're taking care of yourself, you don't need anything from other people. Like, you know, your book, I Need Your Love, is that true? Because I think most people are walking around thinking that they need to be loved by other people. And certainly, you know, if not, they need other people's approval or appreciation.
Yes. And also, if I think I need someone's love, it assumes that I don't have it already. I'm simply believing my thoughts so they can say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we think, yeah, sure, yeah, what do you want? You know, and until we question what we believe, no one can convince us that they care about us as long as we're believing our thoughts about our negative thoughts about ourselves or other people.
Mm-hmm. Have you had, you mentioned about allergies earlier. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this work, your method, mm-hmm. help people with medical issues?
Radically. In the 9-day school for work, in just 9 days, and I have watched, and I don't, oh my goodness, here I am, I'm going to share it anyway, but it's reality, so I can, but I don't ever advertise or you know, this is not a good motive to do the work, but on diabetics, their blood sugar levels, the people with high blood pressure that have taken high blood pressure medicine for years, it levels. People who are taking antidepressants, they go home and the work continues because these four questions become awake in your head and they begin to happen in your head and you begin to, it's like it doesn't stop, it continues. And, you know, this wonderful life, you know, I say when you think life cannot get any better, it has to, that's the law when you're in the work. But I've watched people on antidepressants actually email me and say, I forgot to take them, and I noticed it several, you know, days or weeks later, whatever it is, and I haven't needed them. So a clear mind, when the mind is clear, that is a kind mind. A clear mind is a kind mind. Mm. Then who needs an antidepressant? And I'm not saying there some people, you know, their brains, there is hardware that needs to be dealt with, mm-hmm. but the work is the software.
Yes,
for all brains.
And I think we do know that your thinking can change your biochemistry and it can change the way you're feeling. Hopefully nobody goes off their antidepressants without titrating off them or slowly diminishing them.
So agree with that. In fact, my suggestion is it's a beautiful world, and that includes everything once we understand it, and that includes medication. Yeah. Once we understand, there's no enemy in the world. It's all here to help us.
Thank you, Katie, so much for being here. I think the work is very important and very, very effective. And I invite everyone to go to Byron Katie's website. We call her Katie, even though her name is Byron Katie. And the website is www.thework.com. And over the weekend of February 8th through 11th, Katie will be lecturing at the Conscious Life Expo, which is held at the LAX Hilton, actually on Sunday the 10th from 12:30 to 2:30. And if you want more information about that expo and how you can get a ticket for that, go to consciouslifeexpo.com, or you can call 800-367-5777, or you can go to the kcsn.org website and click on the links provided both for Katie's The Work site and for the Conscious Life Expo. And then Katie's got a 9-day school for the work coming up in LA, on which will be held April 4th through 13th. So you can click on the events button on Katie's site, thework.com. And join me next week, please, to discuss another keynote speaker of the Conscious Life Expo, Sri Rani G, the coordinator of the Oneness Movement in North America. She'll be discussing Buddhism and relationships. I'm psychotherapist Phyllis Chase, and I specialize in working with creatives, couples, and lead my course, Love on Purpose, which teaches women about intentional loving and living your purpose. You can reach me at my website, phyllischase.com, or call 310-402-8888. If you have any comments or questions, please email me at shrink@kcsn.org. I'd really love to hear from you. This is Shrink Wrap. We're here every Tuesday evening at drive time to help you unwrap the issues blocking your road to a happy and fulfilling life. Tuning into Shrink Wrap is all about tuning into you. Stay tuned for Eyes of the World, the show all about the Grateful Dead, with Pat Baker coming up next. Doctor, my eyes, they cannot see the sky. Is this the prize for having learned how not to cry?
The views expressed on the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of KCSN, nor those of California State University Northridge, nor the California State University system.